You are listening to Nostalgia Lane on the Fresh Take Network.
Welcome to Fresh Take, Nostalgia Lane, Joshua Adam Lane, Marathon with the talented, sexy, dangerous Devonier. It's Devon Seal.
Finally out of my element, Star Wars-wise, apparently.
Hey, 100 years ago, we have the open sandbox to do whatever we want.
Yeah.
It's very, I was even kind of thinking, I'm like, how are we going to talk about this in a way? Because there's not like a lot of lore to really... I guess in Legends Canyon, maybe you could say there's more, but for the most part, like this is a, like I said at the start there, it's a pretty open sandbox for them to kind of play with and do whatever they want it. Like the only people that I would say that are alive right now that we would know is Yoda and Yaddle.
Oppo Rancisis, maybe like you never know what alien species lives for a couple hundred years.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, like there's probably, there's probably quite a few Jedi Masters. Like, if they really wanted to, they could bring Yoda into this show.
Yeah, I don't want them to. It's actually very nice to have no Skywalker connection, no Empire. It was actually pretty nice to have that.
Well, the Republic's been at peace for like 1,000 years, more or less. Yeah. So, this occurs at a really interesting time. If you take like a lot of contextual clues from the show and then from our general Star Wars knowledge, like this is very transitional. The Jedi had been losing their connection with the Force for a long time, especially in the prequel movies. And that had been going on for a while. Has it already started in this particular show, 100 years from The Phantom Menace? I can't say that for sure. But it's definitely something to keep in mind. As the Sith are consolidating power, gaining power, putting their master plans into action, and eventually overthrowing the Jedi.
And Master Sol doing his best Qui-Gon Jinn.
Which was Chung Jae Lee's like favorite character is Qui-Gon Jinn.
He learned English because of this show and because of his love of Star Wars.
I think that's a little disingenuous. He already knows, and that's the thing about a lot of these people. Like, I think Shohei Ohtani is a great example too. Like, a lot of these people already know English to a certain degree, but it's a matter of being like really comfortable in public or on screen or on camera. Maybe he's trying to learn a certain accent. Maybe he's trying to sound less Korean-esque, if you will. Like Shohei Ohtani speaks English in the dugout and like to his teammates and stuff like that, but he doesn't want to be misinterpreted or say the wrong thing when he's like a national icon. So that's why he has an interpreter. Same thing with JJ Lee. Like we heard him after Squid Game, like on Instagram reels, like thanking all the English people for watching Squid Game. So,
well, that's right. He is in Squid Game.
He was
your best actor 2 years ago, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is Squid Game. So in this case, like I will.
I recognized him.
I will take that with a grain of salt that like he already knew English to a certain degree, if not a very high degree, and he probably worked with a language coach to get a certain accent or a certain cadence down so he doesn't sound like a non-native speaker.
Also, the actress that plays Mei and Osha. Took me a second, okay. Did the IMD thing. I'm like, holy shit, that is Rue. All growing up. Threw me the fuck off.
It's who?
Rue from Hunger Games.
Oh, I didn't even watch him, so must my first okay. must be my yeah. first time with this character.
I was like, holy shit. Like, I guess, 12 years ago, like, and she was just a little kid. So that really threw me off.
Oh, definitely. Okay.
But then I was like, fuck, Hunger Games was 12 years ago? What the fuck?
You mean the last great like peak of young adult
Dystopian.
fiction?
Hey, Maze Runner was okay. But yes, the peak.
I'm kind of happy we're over the young adult stuff like that. But yeah, okay.
The
Everyone was trying to be the
Divergent
next
and
Harry
Maze
Potter.
Runner and yeah.
Exactly.
Harry Potter worked, so let's try to do a lot more of these. But Hunger Games is really kind of the pick. But she's great in it. Daphne Keene, I like her role. She's very like logical, and the character she plays, she's a very logical Jedi.
I'd like to know more about her species,
Yeah.
something that I'm not necessarily familiar with. I mean, there's a lot of great, if we want to talk about the show right now, just to jump into it, I think especially in this show, they've really nailed a great mix of practical effects, practical costumes. Like they go into the cantina scene and it feels very reminiscent of Mos Eisley. So I really want to give them credits for like the authenticity of Star Wars. You can definitely tell there's a lot of people in costumes, which is just, it just makes it feel so much better, so much more authentic, so much more lived in. And we're seeing new species and new droids and new, not new technologies per se, but different implementations of technologies that are just, really fascinating. And then we get a couple callbacks that, like, if you blink and you miss it, we're dealing with the Trade Federation at one point. So it's just it's in it, you're right in terms of like being away from the Skywalker saga, but yet being very familiar with the world at large.
Yeah, and I mean, it kind of is a little bit of we go back to Tales of the Jedi and the stuff we saw with Dooku and with Qui-Gon in that episode of the Jedi kind of being these space cops, right? And going throughout the galaxy. So that idea, we're obviously at that point we're coming kind of near to the end of it, and Qui-Gon's asking certain questions and whatnot. And in this, we're still 100 years out, and the Jedi are kind of this ruling force over everything. So I've liked that idea, and I liked that what we had for that for Tales of the Jedi. There's a lot of familiarity to that. One of my criticisms is Star Wars does like to repeat itself with stuff. And now I don't know how many people know the Jedi Survivor story as much, but May, is it who's the murderer? It's been 2 days now. Is it May or Asha who's the murderer?
May.
Or May, okay, Asha. Very similar start of her story to Cal Kestis. Very similar.
You know what? I think so. We're also going to talk about like the review bombing and stuff like that, and the public's perception of the show and our rankings of the show.
Yeah.
I'm not going to use the word negative per se, but I'm going to say a few marks against this show was I feel like the lack of originality in terms of the actual basic plot structure.
Yeah.
I watched your sister die, and apparently she's not dead, and it's like, oh my goodness, like, are you freaking kidding me?
Well, also
So I'm
like
kind of over.
go ahead, sorry.
I'm kind of over how they uncover the actual plot of Dark Side Force users is already a little tired to me. I feel like we've seen like the whole the evil twin do this thing like in 10 different shows. However, well, I mean, not even however, like I mean, I have a lot of questions too as we go forward, especially at the end of Phantom Menace when Darth Maul dies, quote unquote, because Yoda and Mace Windu talk about how they haven't, or not even at the end, in the middle of Phantom Menace, they haven't seen a Sith in, 1,000 millennia or something like that, right? So they're going to uncover these evildoers or these plots, and then they're going to just hand wave that they're not Sith, or they're Sith adjacent or whatever. And then they're going to forget about it 100 years later, and then they're going to be like, oh yeah, Darth Maul, definitely not a Sith. Or then at the end of, after killing Qui-Gon, it's like, oh, was he the apprentice or was he the master?
Yeah.
So, in the 1,000 years of peace that the Republic and the Jedi have seen, they don't often encounter Force users, or they don't often encounter like dark side people. So, you know, that kind of brings up more questions. But, you know, I'm really happy. I'd be happy to learn more about it or just to understand it better.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go back to the master in a second. I think there's obviously the overwhelming side that a lot of people think it is, but as you and I kind of talked in text, it's I don't think it is that individual. But I just kind of go back to the Cal Kestis similarities of both kind of stored away on this remote kind of ship, doing kind of mandatory labor, and the droids are very similar to her droid compared to BD-1. Like it's they're very similar droids. By look, in many ways, only her droid doesn't have the leg side of things that BD does. But other than that, like it's a very close representation to what BD is, and also kind of like, oh, I don't know, have the Force, or I did have the Force, and I kind of forget how to use it. Kind of like how Cal kind of forgot how to use the Force there at the beginning and had to remember how to use it. So I was like, look, and I know like a lot of people haven't played Jedi Survivor, but I'm like, there's a lot of similarities to Cal's start of his story to Asha's side of her story that I thought I had to talk about. I'm like, it's eerily similar to a lot of Cal's story that we had, which is, you know, it's fine. You know, I mean, Daisy, not Daisy, Rey, story is very similar to Luke. So Star Wars, you know, it copies from its storylines and re-engages them in many ways. And obviously there's gonna be more people that probably see the Acolyte than to play Jedi Survivor and know that story per se. But as you know, we hear more and more that Cal is going to be a bigger canonical part of the Star Wars universe, that story does matter into the greater, larger birth of what Star Wars is.
Yeah, I think what's really
He got a
hard with
Lego
this
figure, man. He's got a Lego figure now.
what's really hard with this franchise is you're right, like kind of the same story beats over and over and over again. And you bringing up Osha's story mirroring Cal's is actually that's a fantastic point that I didn't really think of right away. You know, here we are, another person who's working manual labor, who got away from the Jedi Order, who for magically forgets how to stop using the Force, who then gets pulled back in. Are those things really necessary? Like,
Also, whose
the
master is not sure how they feel about the Force and the Jedi. Again, very similar.
okay, so you don't disrespect JJ Lee.
Oh, he's
First of
great. I'm
all,
just saying, like the Deborah Wilson character is not as she's way more against everything, but then she like kind of goes back to the temple, obviously, in the second game. But there's some similarity to Deborah Wilson's character. And to JJ's and to his character.
yeah. So let's talk about the dark side master right away.
Okay, so everyone thinks it's Plagueis. Tell them why it's not Plagueis.
Well, I mean, it very well could be, but it doesn't look anything like Plagueis. Plagueis is
Yeah.
a moon or a
Yeah.
mud, and he's like 8 feet or 9 feet tall with a giant head. It very well could be just like how when Sidious was Plagueis's apprentice, he had a variety of Sith of dark side users like Darth Maul, who were not considered to be, well, that's kind of a weird one as well, but considered to be Sith, so assassins or dark side adepts or whatever. So it very, very well could be. I just think it's unlikely based on their physical appearance.
There's another
At this
one that.
period, yeah, this period, well, this period of time, Palpatine is not born yet. And so I think we can confidently say that we're in the era of Darth Tenebris, who is a Bith. Who is like one of the same alien as the Jizz Band, same exact species, only he has like a mechanical thing over his face, and he's training Plagueis. So,
And also
none of,
May.
and also May. Now is that's the thing. Like, so she doesn't know who her master is through obfuscation and you know whatever,
Yeah,
but.
they use the Kylo Ren trick.
Yeah, exactly. Just change the voice.
of like searching the mind type of thing that we hadn't seen really since I thought Force Awakens.
Well, I will. To flip back, flip gears a little bit, back to the positives of the show,
Which there's more of.
the Jedi powers are just fantastically used in the first two episodes, and we really see Jedi who are adept with the Force, who've been well trained, who use it very effectively. Even if we're going to get the story that's like, oh, like these Jedi were, they are the ones who started the fire for whatever reason, and they have to live with this dark secret and blah 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 blah. The show starts off incredibly well, even though for the last 2 weeks I've been telling anyone who would listen that Carrie Ann Moss's character is going to die in the first episode, and lo and
Nail
behold, she
that.
doesn't make it to the title sequence. Like the fact, and that's the sad part about some Star Wars is sometimes it's so incredibly transparent. If we see this fight sequence, the fight sequences in the last couple of shows have been a touch too slow for my liking. I know they're dealing with actors who have to then do physical training, but we've seen like really like I think the perfect kind of Jedi or Force user fight speed is the Anakin Obi-Wan fight in episode three. The Force allows you to not see the future per se, but it allows you to kind of see the different options and allows you to react accordingly, right? If you have Jedi reflexes, like you're going to be quite fast at it. So, I appreciated the fight between Osha and Carrie Ann Moss's character. I thought it was a touch too slow. But then on the flip side, like if Carrie Ann Moss's character is actually that strong with the Force and that powerful of a Jedi, how did she get tricked by a hidden blade,
Well, that's why some people were like, we saw Kylo stop the gunshot in Force Awakens. I mean, I guess you can kind of go with the distraction that, she did the Jedi's first service, which is to help and protect, more or less, right? So she was trying to protect. So she stopped the one blade and didn't see the other one coming. So I guess I can kind of understand that.
Yeah, one of the things I read online was that like her character had hubris. She was kind of she was too self-confident, and then she let her guard down. She thought that the
And
fight was
downplayed her
over.
opponent.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
I can kind of understand that one. I just have a really, really hard time. If we're in the High Republic era, like these Jedi, like it should be really, really hard to kill these Jedi and not like a 5 minute fight. So I would have, in hindsight, I would have kind of rewritten a few, like make some small tweaks to this show that I think would have been a little bit more appropriate for the time frame. Like Carrie Ann Moss's character should have lasted, what would be great is, for especially if we're talking about the idea of like really transparent storytelling and stuff that's really easy to predict. Obviously, we're working with a group of four Jedi who had to make a really tough decision for whatever reason, and they are probably responsible for burning down Osha's family's house or village or whatever. And they thought they were doing the right thing, maybe because the Republic told them so, and then they end up killing innocent people. And then this is the beginning of the fall of the High Republic era because the Jedi are now pawns of the government. And then you have to ask yourself, like, are you supposed to kill people who disagree with the government? Fantastic, that's a really cool plot element. And I'll take some things like from anime here, where it's like you keep around these strong characters, and then have that twist at the end of like maybe Carrie Ann Moss's character is the one who justifies burning down that village, and then actually some of her actions are like self-motivated or they're selfish, and then maybe she's been going down this path of not the dark side per se, but maybe she's been going down a path that's not necessarily butterflies and rainbows. And then JJ Lee's character or Osha's character has to like confront Carrie Ann Moss and be like, what you did was completely wrong. And she's like, I don't think it was wrong. And then it's like, wow, like we have a real disagreement here between, because this is kind of like where who's the really like morally upright Jedi with the yellow lightsaber so far with the hair? what's his name?
Yord Fandar.
Yeah, Yord. See, I feel like if Carrion Moss's character had lived and been part of this investigation, the way that Yord treats like justice and policing in the galaxy, I think would go really hand in hand with Carrion Moss's character. So then you have him being like, in order to preserve peace in the galaxy, we have to make these tough decisions. And then it's like, oh shit, like now we have these Jedi who are doing the right thing, but who are taking it too far. Then you have Carrion Moss's character in Yord, not painted as bad people, but you know, morally gray, if you will, have to be confronted by Osha and Saul and his Padawan.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're like, what, you went too far, we need to walk this back. The Jedi should be, because this is kind of one of the classic discussions in Star Wars and the few movies that we've had, is that, you know, the Jedi went away from being a group of beings who reflect on the Force to then being an arm of a government.
Yeah.
So right away, like, there's a couple changes that I would make there. Now, we don't know where the show is going to go, and I could be pleasantly surprised, but getting rid of Carrion Moss's character right away was a big disappointment to me.
It is one of my favorite things that I want more shows to do. It was like, we got this big star, and then just kill them off right at the beginning. It's one of my favorite things. I've always wanted to like see a movie be like wrapped around like, hey, we got Brad Pitt, we got Leo, we got Margot Robbie, we got everybody, and then they all die in the opening scene of the movie, and then you just have like these unknown actors really carry the rest of the movie. If I was ever a director, that is something I would do. I would call like the 10 of the biggest names in Hollywood, and I'd just be like, hey, like, this is an easy payday. It's a bait and switch.
Yep.
Because I want you look at yourself as like you're the key, like you're like, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, but I'm really going to throw the ball to everybody else and bring in the backup quarterback to show what they have. But I want you to just come in, be part of this film, and then carry it after that. I think it's fun when you see that bait and switch, because you're like, oh yeah, Carrie Moss, cool, I know her. But then it's like, oh, I'm not familiar with the rest of these actors. I guess I get to learn to love them, or you're going to be really pissed off.
I wish this wasn't so transparent.
Yeah. I mean, you called it right away. Cause I mean, and it was pretty bad that she like, they should have maybe hit it more that she like have like, kind of like what Avengers Infinity War did, right? Of miss like reinterpreting the trailer of like not showing Spider-Man in space, or when Thanos faces Cap, he doesn't have all the stones in the glove. Like maybe put her a little bit more fluid in the trailer. Cause even when you said that last week, I was like, whoa, that's a hot take. I'm like, yeah, you're probably right.
That's the thing, like, and that's where I think one of my only like main criticisms of the story, which is actually kind of a big criticism, is that I think the story is a little banal. It's a little juvenile so far. We all kind of agree that like the best stories of Jedi are the ones, like, the reason why we're so high on Tales of the Jedi was it because Dooku wasn't wrong, but he went about it the wrong way. Qui-Gon wasn't wrong. And so these are people actively not working against, but trying to fight against the inevitable tide of like where the Jedi have headed to, which then leads into the prequel movies. And for all the blemishes of the prequel movies, the actual downfall of the Jedi is like a really impactful moment in Star Wars history. So like, I think we could have done with some grand like interpretations of philosophy, of what it means to follow the Force, of policing in the galaxy, and what the Jedi's roles in the galaxy. And now we're just kind of like uncovering like just a random bad guy who we may or may not get answers to, who may or may not even make sense in terms of like leading to Plagueis and Tenebris. Like, I'd be really surprised if we got
Plagueis or Tenebris. Well, there's some people
I don't think it's happening.
It's Quemere. Who we saw that was kind of the guy that gave her the poison, kind of hiding in plain sight, that's the Sith.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And I mean, cool. I mean, I liked him in the actor. I think a lot of people mainly know him as Jason Mendoza in The Good Place. But if it just turns out that he's the Sith Lord, And I think, I mean, cool. I guess you, I kind of like the idea of hiding in plain sight and everything like that. But, and kind of manipulating the Jedi with him, be like, oh no, don't hurt me, kind of thing. Cause that's the thing that, Sidious would have done. So there is a lot of same deception there that Sidious would have done and you've seen from other Sith. So I do like that. But there will be a greater range of people like, oh, I wanted it to be Plagueis or I wanted it to be this. It's like, and that's again, we've talked about this in the Marvel where that, well, that's your anticipation of something. Let things lay themselves out to what they're going to be. That's why, like I've said on here before, going to Deadpool Wolverine this year, I have zero expectations of any cameo or anything like that. I'm just going in for Deadpool and Wolverine, just like with this. I'm not putting anticipation that this will be Plagueis, or there's some people like they're going to rewrite the lore and make this Raven. I'm like, I'm not going to anticipate that. If it happens, then a lot of people, more people are going to be pissed because that changes a lot of Legends canon. But there's somebody like, oh, it's going to be him. I'm like, it's not. That changes canon like dramatically. And I don't think it is technically canon, is it?
What, Knights of the Old
Raven?
Republic?
Raven?
Okay, the short answer is kind of. So Knights of the Old Republic is not considered canon. However, in Last Jedi or right, whatever, Last Skywalker or God knows whatever, when they're on Exegol, in the stone carvings of like of Palpatine's fortress kind of thing, they had all these different names written in Star Wars language, and one of them is Revan, as like I think they had it as a name of like a battalion of soldiers or something like that. And so all the groups of soldiers were named after like very famous Sith lords, and Revan was one of them that people could decipher. So if that were the case, Revan is canon. However, is it going to follow the events in Knights of the Old Republic? I have no idea, because Revan actually goes back to the light side in Knights of the Old Republic, I believe.
Spoilers.
Also, I don't think Filoni, well, and the game's like 20 years old at this point. I don't think Filoni would mess with something like that
No.
to that. I don't think that'd pass the cutting room floor. Maybe people have tried to pass that idea off to him, but considering like Knights of the Old Republic is like 2,500 years before the movies, I think they're saving that time frame for some other multimedia projects. There's a reason we haven't gone that far back, and I think that if they are able to do a live action or animated version of Knights of the Old Republic, they would definitely take it, rather than just have like having rewritten one of the most major characters of canon stuff. So that one's kind of tough for me.
I don't see it happening. I just saw some
But hey,
fan
like,
theories. I think your
well, the thing
answer is
is,
the
like, I
right
know that like
answer.
some of my criticisms, you just mentioned how like we should let things play out, and I completely agree with you. And you know what? I'm going to allow myself to be really pleasantly surprised by the outcome of the story. I want to hold out hope that I'm really intrigued by it. You're right in terms of like some of the things that they did are like really just kind of going back to the same well over and over again with a person who uses the Force who forgets how to use it because they left the Jedi Order for some reason or another because they disagree with like the, now this is starting to sound like Ahsoka practically. So where does it begin and end really? Like how many people do we have to leave the Jedi Order when maybe what happens is, you know, a better case is to make Osha a Jedi who's really affected by the losing of her family, and she's like a very militant type Jedi like Yoda is, and she's like, we have to have peace in the galaxy, and we have by having peace we have to ha use Force, and maybe she's that person, right? And then she has to confront that.
I was more intrigued with the actual stuff on Coruscant at the Jedi Council, with Master Sol, with the Daphne Keen character,
Indara.
and yeah, her. Like I'm more intrigued, and Torben kind of doing his like force field stuff was pretty dope as well. Like that was really cool. I was more interested in learning more about that kind of stuff of this era, and I couldn't help feel when they were in Coruscant. I'm like, Organa, Jimmy Smith's character,
Bail.
Bail, Would it be his great father's probably not alive yet, but his grandfather would be alive, right? This is the extent. You're still going to connect parts of Star Wars, the Skywalker saga, in your mind, whether you like it or not. So I was like, would Bail Organa's grandfather be around? I'm like, probably, right?
Almost, well, yeah, grandfather, great grandfather,
Because
somewhere along those
Bail in
lines.
what? In Phantom Menace is probably, we're going to say, 30s, 40s?
Yep. Yeah,
Okay.
so his dad's about 60,
Yeah, 60,
60 or
70.
70. So we're not quite there yet. So probably great grandfather.
No, so not grandfather, just great grandfather, you think?
Probably considering generations are about 25 years apart,
Yeah.
we're looking, and so this is kind of where I'm not entirely sure the exact year this happens. It said that it's 100 years since the Empire. Now, does that mean like the start of so the start of that is the Phantom Menace, which took
That's
20 years.
what most people have been gauging from the
So
understanding that reviewers have. It's 100 years to when we see Phantom Menace.
okay, so if that's the case, then we're looking at three or four generations of Organas. So we're looking at the great grandfather. We're probably looking at the great grandfather. If it's 100 years since Order 66 and the creation of the Empire, then we're only looking at about 80 years, which is probably about three generations, which is probably his grandfather.
Yeah. See, this is the nerdy thought of thing. Like, I wonder if his grandfather's around.
Now, the question is this show going to give us a bunch of teases of characters or families that that we recognize from the original trilogy or the prequel trilogy? I mean, that's a million-dollar
Well, my other
question.
question to you is, how long do Wookiees live for?
Like 200 years.
Okay. So, Chewbacca born?
Yeah, Chew. Chew. Well, it's they say it in the Han Solo movie. Chewbacca's like 160 or 180 years old or
Okay, so
something like
Chewbacca's
that,
around
right?
right now.
Oh yeah, Wookiees live for a really long time.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, because we know Yoda's around. I don't want to see Yoda or Yaddle personally. Like I don't want any, and I don't want to see Chewie. I'm just like in the back of my mind, I'm like connecting dots of who's around that we know at this point. But I don't
Well,
want to see them.
I have no idea how you'd connect Chewie to any of this because
Well, we didn't even go to Kashyyyk, right?
that's exactly it, right?
Yeah.
For all that we know of Chewie's canon history, he just randomly ends up on Mimbin in that weird pit where he's been eating stormtroopers and shit. So he
Yeah.
has to go from he has to go from Kashyyyk to there
Yeah.
in a relatively short period of time. So I'm assuming he's still on Kashyyyk. He's probably like some moody teenager or something like that,
Yeah,
like for all
probably.
we know.
So that's kind of some of the things you watch. I think this show, 2 episodes in, I gave it like a 7.58 because I was like, I think the world building is interesting. I think they laid the groundwork for some cool stuff. I like where we are. I like some of the ideas there. Again, I am critical of some of the overwhelming same beats, but I am intrigued to come back next week and see, okay, what's the next step we're going to go? I obviously, even though it's a repeated thing, like, who is this? I am interested who the master is. Of course I am. It's once you set that bait for anyone, it's such an easy trait for your TV audience to wonder who it is and have the think pieces who it is. I mean, we discussed it here. I knew it would be, it's a subject that every podcast has talked about this, talked about. I was like, who could the master be? Right. So, I am intrigued by it. I get like a 7.5 out of 8. I like the idea of book two. I even do like with May that I wouldn't say like she's a Sith in the typical sense of guiding Hayden, everything like that. You can see even the way that she fights and goes by manner, she's almost like Montoya from Princess Bride. Is like, my name is May, prepare to die. Like kind of the way that
Yeah,
she
no
like sets up
kidding.
in these stances and stuff like that to fight them. You can tell like whatever this Sith Lord was, he obviously, like Sith Lords do, took the anger that she obviously had from thinking her sister died and her
Yeah.
family died and tried to take advantage of it. But you can still see some confliction of her. She wants the revenge for what happened, but she doesn't have that typical Sith presence to her.
Well, I can almost guarantee that she is not a Sith, right? Just like Asajj Ventress was not a Sith Lord. Especially at this point in time in the history of the Republic, the rule of two is a necessity for the Sith,
Or the
especially
girl
after their
that was
downfall.
with Ray Stevenson in Ahsoka.
Oh, Hattie.
Yeah.
That's a little more difficult
Yeah,
because
it's
we're
a little
dealing with
closer.
like that's well, it's a little more difficult because we don't even know if he's necessarily a Sith Lord or if he's just a Force adept, right? So
Yeah.
he's like a fallen Jedi. I don't think he necessarily touches on the dark side of the Force. This is a little different here. So if we assume Plagueis and Tenebris are the only two Sith Lords because of the rule of two, especially after the downfall of the Sith in like was it 1,000, 2,000 years prior, 1,000 years prior, the Jedi Sith War, then what has to happen is we have a series of people who are using the dark side but are not trained in the Sith arts.
Yeah.
And that's where her master, who we see on like the big craggly rock face with the red lightsaber, we cannot assume that that is one of the two Sith Lords. For all we know, Tenebis or Plagueis have trained several other people in dark side things, but do not call them Sith. And so her master may not actually be a Sith Lord, but maybe another Sith assassin or I
Well,
mean
it
we've
could
heard
even
Acolyte, right? So
on the rocks, it could have been Quemere, and he's not necessarily the master. He knows the master,
right.
and he's just kind of he is the acolyte of the Rising
Yes.
Sith to train her, more or less. Well, the other Sith lords are staying, Plagueis or whoever, are staying in the shadows because of not wanting the Jedi to identify them, so they have the acolytes
Yes.
outside to train and grow the numbers of the Sith.
Or at least take the heat off of the idea of Sith being around, because the Jedi refuse to believe
Exactly.
that they're that's part of the reason why episodes 1, 2, and 3 happen, is because they refuse to believe that the Sith are even around.
Yeah.
And
Because
that's what
even
starts
when
kind of the
Anakin goes to Mace and he's like, a Sith Lord? Like, are you sure? Even Mace, who's one of the most senior Jedi, was like, Anakin, you got to be sure about this because you're kind of talking crazy.
yeah, because they don't even believe so they don't even believe that Dooku is a Sith Lord.
Yeah.
Because his name is Lord Tyranus, which
Yeah.
I don't think the Jedi ever even find out. It's what
No,
Palpatine calls
they
him.
just call him Count Dooku.
Exactly. So, like, because in the prequel trilogy, they're convinced that he ends up becoming one of the Fallen 20, and then he goes back to his home planet where he was actually royalty, and they think that he just assumed his throne, and then he's leading all the independent systems because he's a political leader, not because he's a Sith Lord.
And then he just turned his back on the Jedi Council.
Basically, that's
Yeah.
exactly it, I think.
Yeah.
So we have a little bit more to learn about who these enemies are in this show. Because the story was kind of fairly transparent in the first two episodes, I think the show moved a little too slowly for a premium television. Like we have what, 8 or 10 episodes of the show, and
Let's see.
we haven't really advanced the plot much.
Eight.
Yeah, so right now the show's moving way too slowly for if we're gonna have some grand design with like real Sith Lords in this show, I think the show's moving too slowly. So I think you're kind of on the right point here about Mae's master being a true acolyte and not actually a Sith Lord.
I
Now,
think
how will the Jedi figure that out? Great, great question.
too, as far Disney was right to put this out when they did, because if this would have came out the same week as House of the Dragon, I do think in the grander conversation, it would have lost weight with whatever House of the Dragon does more. And even with what the boys can do at times with conversation of a big piece of it, I think Star Wars will still overshine the boys, but the boys will do something crazy. And so I think it was a good time to get the basic story out first before, you know, The Boys comes out next week, for example.
Right.
What would you give it out of a 10 to start off with? You kind of with me, the 7.58 ish area.
Yeah. 7.5. I'm nitpicking a couple things. Like, I think the fight was a little slow. I think we have to change some things to make it a bit more, less murder mystery, you know, salon party. Like, you know, you play with your friends, and a little bit more of like some grand conspiracy. Mm-hmm. But that's not to say that they won't do that in episodes 3 and 4 and kind of give you, spoon feed you more information.
By the way, when she was on the cliff, I needed Osha to be to Master So, like, I didn't kill him. And he'd be like, I don't care. That would have been perfect.
Oof, just force that push right
perfect.
Off.
Perfect. I don't care. The little fugitive reference there. But, you know, seeing him use the force there and pick her up was pretty dope.
Everything about the force in this show has been phenomenal so far. Yeah. And I think they've really dialed in. Now, it's kind of weird. Like, Star Wars has some weird things with the force at times and other things that are awesome. I think these are phenomenal uses of force powers. And I think they're used like appropriately, you know, especially to stop knives and to deflect things. And, you know, the guy, Master Tord or whatever his name was, is like, you know, force meditating, which was really cool. We have yet to see, and this is probably what's going to piss some more people off, is Osha. So she's turned her back on the Jedi, and she's no longer force sensitive, or no, she's still force sensitive, but she's forgot how to tap into that. Is she suddenly just going to become really friggin' OP really fast, kind of like Sabine did? And then it's just like, oh man, fuck me, like, can we just not have... Well, at least Cal in the...
Cal was, I guess, a little bit more tempered, because he had to find that temple.
Yeah. It took a whole game for him to get...
Yeah.
The thing that
he mysteriously forgot everything all over again.
Right. It's like, oh my God.
For the third game, just give it... Well, I mean, he did have some stuff at the start. There was some, like certain jumping and stuff like that he didn't know. Like, for the third game, it's going to be interesting how they really, like, come up with how he forgot everything.
Yeah, he gets bonked on the head, and suddenly it's like he's no longer himself or something like that. And I think that's what's been frustrating some diehard Star Wars fans for a long time, is like, and we talked about this in Ahsoka, we talked about this in other shows, like, who can use the Force and how and why is really important to a lot of people. And then just for every random Tom, Dick, and Harry to like just pick it up and just suddenly be amazing at it, it's really frustrating, because then what's the point of actually having like the Order train younglings? I hope, like, you know, it's going to be pretty apparent that Osha's going to fight her sister, right?
Oh, yeah.
Seeing that, we got to have that at some point in time.
And then she's going to have the thing kind of like she did with the stun gun of like, kind of cut the ground.
Yeah, so you know, is she going to rejoin the Jedi Order? Who knows?
No, I mean, I don't think she will.
Presently, as it sits, like, she's going to get her ass kicked by her sister. But then what's going to happen? You know, we're gonna realize that JJ Lee's character is going to be like he was part of those four Jedi that did a bad thing. Or maybe
she already said he was. She's like, you were on my list to kill. So
what I mean to say is, like, what we don't know is the actual real story behind the death of the family, the death of the sister to each other, and the role the Jedi play. For all we know, and we're probably gonna get like weird flashbacks and stuff like that, where like in reality, it was started by the bad guy, and the Jedi were totally innocent or something like that, right? And then it's like, it's going to mess with May's mind, and then she's going to have like a, you know, she's going to like freak out, and then she's going to totally run away.
Yeah, you could tell there was a Sith Lord or the Acolyte or whoever could have said that she had dark mentalities, and they thought that she would be someone that they could steal away for the dark side. So if they manipulated the situation to make one or both of them feel like they lost someone, that one of them would eventually turn to the dark side for the revenge factor of things, and then gain a new member of the Sith side of things.
Yeah, that's the other kind of direction the story is going to, where it's like the Jedi actually didn't do anything wrong, but is manipulated by the Sith. just to push her to the dark side.
And poor Torben drank the poison for no reason.
Yeah. Unless, so that's the other thing too, like, does in his force meditations, did he realize that he has to do that in order to get Osha to come back to the Jedi Order, right? And so we don't know the truth as to her family dying or why they died or how they died. We know that May started a, from the Jedi's point of view, May started a fire and then she died in that fire, right? Mm-hmm. But we don't necessarily know May's point of view yet, other than, like, you know, so her sister,
she started
died,
the fire, like, and we don't know why she started the fire, and she thought her sister died in it.
So they both think their sister died, and then and then JJ Lee's character is like, her sister can't be alive because I saw her die. So did he or did he not see her die? So
here's my other thing too, of like, wouldn't they each have connection within the Force to know if they're alive or not?
Apparently Force dyads are only reserved for Rey and Kylo Ren and not
and
twins.
Luke and Leia?
Apparently. Yeah, yeah. Luke and Leia.
Leia doesn't even know she has the Force?
No, but you
I
know,
just
the other
know
thing,
he's okay.
You know what? I'm relatively okay with someone who had no Force training to kind of have like strong feelings but no proof. Because they actually sprinkle in Leia having the Force, like, throughout the original trilogy, like, very gently, in a very like sparing way, which was fine. But you're right, like, how do you just not feel your twin sister alive, like, when you're in the same city or like even like 10 feet away from each other? So that's another question that
until
I have.
He was
so
on,
how does
in Cloud City when he's like, okay, I need, it's like, fuck it, you know what, Leia, you know, like, I'm trying to do this Force connect, okay, yeah, Leia, yeah.
Yeah,
and he can talk
right?
to Darth too. He's like, I know you, Father. I was like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, we have to suspend some disbelief, but at the same time,
of course.
The things
that's
that
we
suspended, the things that we suspend our disbelief, we kind of set as being rules for the franchise. And then when those rules get broken, it really pisses people off.
I think that's going to take a wrap there. We'll be back next week with another Nostalgia Lane and maybe a split to the rundown, because the rundown, we will have The Boys, Mad Max, and Summer Games Fest next week.
Sounds great.
So until then, everyone, ta-ta. Cheers and enjoy the day.